Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. We're going to be talking today about the delay of marriage and what it means for the church. What we're looking at, and we've talked about this several times on this program already, what we're looking at is a progressive distancing of marriage out into the future for so many young adults. The average age of marriage is now well into the late 20s and headed toward the early 30s. This is a major change in the way that human beings live. It's a major change in our society. It's a major change in the lives of so many young people because they are basically in an extended adolescence until such time as they get married and become parents and take on the full responsibilities of parenthood. We're going to be talking today about some interesting research. Robert Withnow at Princeton University looking at a correlation between the fact that you have the delay of marriage and you also have very low rates of church attendance, the lowest in any modern history among young adults aged 21 to about 39. And the reason for this is, it could be that they're not parents and spouses. Because the historic pattern has been that with the responsibilities of being married and being a parent come a new sense of responsibility also in terms of church attendance. The main issue I want to talk about today is just what this means in terms of the delay of marriage for the church, because we now have a sizable population of young people who aren't doing what young people historically have done, which is to marry and start having children. They're delaying that far into the late 20s, now many times into the early 30s, and even beyond. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. It's a fascinating topic, a somewhat controversial topic, because in this society, and I would include in that a large number of people who would even be Christians who would say, look, this is just nobody's business. But when you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a part of the church, everything that affects the church and the people you know and love is a matter of our theological and spiritual concern. So we're talking today about the delay of marriage and what it means. I've written a lot about this. I've spoken a lot about this. You can find material on my website at albertmohler.com about this. You can find right now an article at the website on the delay of marriage and what it means in terms of the secularization of America. And we're going to be talking about that when we come back. I think it's good on a day like this to really consider what it means for our personal decisions and what we would, in the secular world, just write off as lifestyle choices to mean for the church. The phone number again is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. First, to review some issues in the news, and there is, of course, a lot in the news. William Salatin, I cite him often on this program because he's on top of so many things going on in the world. At Slate.com, he writes about the fact that in Japan right now, there has been an abortion because of a mistake in an IVF clinic. And the story is very complex, but the bottom line is that the woman discovered that she might not be carrying her own embryo. And because of that, or that is the embryo that was utilized her own egg. And so because of that, she aborted the fetus because she obviously did not want the child if it was not her own. Now, one of the things I come back to again and again is the moral consequence of technology. And some of those moral consequences are unintended consequences. When people were developing IVF or in vitro fertilization technology, their effort was to help couples in particular, married couples specifically, who could not get pregnant to be able to have a child. But of course, what happened in terms of basically an unintended consequence is that once the act of reproduction was severed from its natural environment, then it was not only married couples who would demand to have access to IVF technology, but lesbian couples, unmarried couples, single women. We're now in a brave new world, a wild, wild west of reproductive technologies, and now you have IVF clinics with all kinds of moral quandaries and issues and challenges with the moral reality of hundreds of thousands of frozen embryonic human beings now simply in cold storage in America's IVF clinics, and now you have, in Japan, this situation in which it is now known that a woman aborted the fetus because she believed it was just not hers. Okay, now you look at this and you say, okay, what argument could you use against this? Well, if you are pro-life and you are opposed to abortion, then you have basically a very clean direction in making this argument. That is, abortion's wrong under any circumstance. But if you are buying into the feminist argument that there is no one who can tell a woman that she can't have an abortion at any time for any reason, then you're really not in any position to say that it's wrong to abort a baby just because you found out it wasn't your own embryo. This is one of those moral situations in which there are lots of people who are basically pro-abortion who would be very squeamish about this proposal, even as they're squeamish about sex selection abortions and squeamish about abortions on any number of other reasons, but because they are so adamantly committed to a pro-abortion form of argument, or what they might classify as a pro-choice form of argument, that they don't realize they have undercut their ability to say that any abortion is right or wrong. I believe that that's because once you begin to believe that any abortion could be right, that is an elective abortion, and we're not talking about an abortion here that's necessary to save the life of the mother. We're talking here about an abortion that someone decides because they do not want this child right now. Once you begin to believe that any of those decisions are legitimate, eventually you've got no ground for arguing that virtually any and all of those decisions would be legitimate. The Associated Press is out with a report from Mike Strobe, their medical writer, that more babies were born in the United States in 2007 than any year in the nation's history. So that's good. Lots of babies being born. I consider that very good news, especially over against the reality of falling birth rates in so much of the developed world. But there is other news as well. That is, we're talking about 4.3 million births, but 40% were to unwed mothers. That's also a high. 40%. 4 out of 10 babies born in the United States last year, 4 out of 10 of them were born to unwed mothers. That is another vast cultural change. That's a vast, significant, seismic change in the way human beings live, and has to do also with the expectation of marriage we're talking about on the program today. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch is out with a very interesting article on what's really going on with new ways to be worried about pornography. And it happens that there are many new ways to worry about pornography, but I'll tell you, one of the reasons we need to be worried about pornography is that there are ever new technologies. We're just talking about the unintended effect of technologies. Well, those who created the Internet created it largely in order that America's defense system would have the ability to communicate its separate parts together under the case of a nuclear attack. But what the Internet has also produced is the World Wide Web, which is its own zoo and circus of just about everything, including, of course, pornography, just a couple of clicks away. Now you have kids who are sexting themselves and sending sexually explicit pictures of each other through the cell phone. Now you have commercial services that are offering to sell pornography to cell phones by sending explicit photography and even video materials. And now you have the pornography industry, of all things, complaining that it is suffering in terms of its profit line because so many people are now able to get into the business that it doesn't look like the old established pornography firms are going to be able to have the monopoly they once had on the business. Fascinating cover story in Forbes magazine, billionaire busts, who's surviving the crash, who's getting clobbered. Pictures on the front include Bill Gates down $18 billion, Warren Buffett down $25 billion. They're among at least five here on the cover. Well, I look at this and I'll tell you right off, I did not lose either $18 or $25 billion in this economic slowdown. Needless to say. You start looking at this and you realize, what would it be to be able to lose? How would it feel even to be in some kind of capacity to lose $18 or $25 billion of net worth? Folks, you know, the interesting thing is that this magazine is talking about how much people are worth. And you look at that and you say, well, they're just simply adding up financial assets and all the rest. Well, my fear is that in this economic downturn, there are a lot of people who are discovering that they had been measuring their worth by their portfolio, their 401k, their 403b, their assets, their home, their real estate, you know, their IRA. And the reality is that we had better be the people, those who are Christians and operate out of a Christian worldview, we better be the people to be on the front lines of saying, look, our worth is not determined by our bank account. Our worth is not determined by our ledger of profit and loss. Our worth is certainly not determined by our investment portfolio. Our worth is grounded in the fact that we're made in the image of God. And every single human being has a purpose for living and a contribution to make without regard to how large one's accounts are, or, for that matter, how catastrophic the loss in this kind of downturn. I do have to look at this, though, and just wonder, what do you do when you wake up in the morning and you've lost $25 billion? I guess if you still got tens and tens of billions left, it's just a billion here, a billion there. That's a different world. We're back to talk about the delay of marriage on the Albert Mueller Program. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mueller Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. The issue of this extended adolescence and the delay of marriage has been something I've talked about repeatedly. It's an issue to which we've returned several times, but it seems timely right now. Let me read to you two paragraphs from Bradford Wilcox's column in the Wall Street Journal from just a few days ago. Listen to this. He writes, "The secular tide appears to be running strongest amongst young Americans. Religious attendance among those 21 to 45 years old is at its lowest level in decades, according to Princeton sociologist Robert Wethnow. Only 25% of young adults now attend services regularly, compared with about one-third in the early 1970s. The most powerful force driving religious participation down is the nation's recent retreat from marriage," Mr. Wethnow notes. "Nothing brings women, and especially men, into the pews like marriage and parenthood, as they seek out the religious, moral, and social support provided by a congregation upon starting a family of their own. But because growing numbers of young adults are now postponing or avoiding marriage and childbearing, they're also less likely to end up in church on any given Sunday. Mr. Wethnow estimates that America's houses of worship would have about 6 million more regularly attending young adults if today's young men and women started families at the rate they did three decades ago," end quote. You know, the tie between what you might call the delay of marriage and secularism is something that that is new and, quite fascinating. I think Robert Wethnow, Brad Wilcox are both onto something here. And I think it ought to have the attention of Christians. Now, from very different vantage points and looking at different perspectives of the same reality, I've tried to come at this issue and just say, what should be normative? What should be expected in terms of the transition to adulthood? And what does it mean if we see millions and millions of young people not moving in that direction? The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We've got some fascinating calls on the line already. Let's go to Altoona, Pennsylvania. Matthew's listening on WTLR. Go ahead, Matthew.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment. I'm a veterinarian, and I think part of the reason that people are delaying marriage and families, and I guess looking at myself and some of my friends and so forth, is that it's required almost in this economy to go beyond a high school education to have a profession or a vocation to make a living. And it just takes, well, I had 9 years of school after high school, and then I was in the Peace Corps for 3 years. And the other is I realized this before I started my education in veterinary college, but it became more of an issue than I thought it would be. Is just the cost. The veterinary education has gone up 100%+ in the past 10 years, and I'm faced with I graduate. I worked since I was 12 years old as a newspaper deliverer. I worked in the summers. I graduated from my bachelor's degree without any debt. And now I'm paying, just from 4 years of veterinary college, twice as much on my student loans as I am on my mortgage. And, my wife and I, I'm now 37, we want to have kids, but I don't want to start a family unless she can stay home, and she agrees, but we're sort of trapped now. And the other thing that, unfortunately, after I got out of school, we purchased our home when the real estate boom was going on, and you know, we paid probably too much for our home, but that's what homes cost at that time. So,
Matthew, I appreciate you calling, and I appreciate the narrative there. Let me just say that as much as I think your situation is hardly unique, I just hate to hear someone trapped from the biggest issues of life by financial and vocational decisions. I'll just be honest about that. I feel like just in terms of where God's glory is shown in our lives and what I can hear you're saying you want to do in terms of having children, it drives me to distraction to think that we've created a situation now in which the expectations are such, financially and professionally and otherwise, that people are putting this off so far into the future. You know, I'm sure those experiences you had in the Peace Corps and all the rest were very important, and wouldn't want to take those away. I would simply say that there has to be some urgency here. Now, just because if this becomes the norm, then for one thing, it explains a great deal of the fertility crisis in America. We have doctors telling us that part of the fertility crisis is people having children far beyond what would be the normal childbearing years. It's just changing so much in terms of the way people live. Now, Matthew, the other thing I want to say is that you're not alone, but you're also not the norm in this, because the reason most people are giving for not marrying isn't that they are currently involved in an educational degree program that would keep them from being married, but rather that they just, quote, aren't ready for marriage yet, which I think is the greater symptom of just not growing up into adulthood. Matthew, you make a very interesting point when you started out your narrative there, when you talked about the fact that higher education is now more or less necessary. You know, you hear it often said as in terms of the quip, well, you know, what a high school diploma used to represent vocationally, now a college baccalaureate represents. I, as a seminary and college president, I see that. But when you get much past 22 or something like that, then you're making decisions post baccalaureate, and those are just complicated. You see the cost of those decisions positively and negatively. Matthew, thanks so much for your call. I really appreciate it. You're hardly alone. I just want to encourage you, and I mean this as encouragement. Don't miss the biggest things in life, and postpone them until you can't have them because of some of the apparently pressing needs of the present. Let's go to Orlando, Florida. Jason's listening on WTLN. Go ahead, Jason.
How you doing, Albert? Thanks for the call, thanks for this question. This is an awesome question. Well, I think that we just, as a society, and this is kind of a basic, but I think it's a pretty important concept, parents, I believe, have just gotten out of the education business, and we're not teaching our kids about love. I mean, we're allowing Hollywood movie stars who, you know, most of them aren't getting married until their late 30s because they're living the lifestyle of the world and everything. And that seems to be, like what you said, it's kind of secularization.
Yeah. You know, Jason, you're onto such an important point there. And there's an historical track we really need to kind of trace here. The vast majority of people in human history who have ever been married were not deeply in love when they got married. The vast majority of people in of couples who've gotten married were married in arranged marriages and other social context marriages, where I'm not saying that they were in love with each other. I didn't say they don't love each other. I'm saying that they didn't meet what is kind of the Romeo and Juliet model of companionate marriage, which, by the way, is a fairly recent development in Western civilization. The vast majority of people who get married this year, in the year 2009, around the world, will not get married because they dated and then went steady and then exchanged promise rings and then went through all that falderal. It's going to be a very different process. Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to follow that process. What I am saying is that Jason's right. We have bought into a mentality of marriage that is mostly sentimental and emotional, and it is abstracted from real life. Hollywood is so abstracted from real life, and the Hollywood love ethos, well, let me tell you what it means. If you think that being married is first of all established in exactly how you feel every moment, then you're going to feel, and in your own mind, maybe you think you actually will be more married now, less married then, more married at one moment, less married the next. And that's why all this is tied to the divorce culture as well, because people say, I just don't feel like I ought to be married to that person anymore. Well, from a biblical perspective, you are married to that person, and you had better love them, cherish them, protect them, and all the rest. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Great topic. Let me know what you think. Give me a call on the Albert Mueller Program.
Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmueller.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mueller.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. The delay of marriage is something that is clear in the statistics. All you have to do is start looking at the age of first marriage, and it's a mess. We're looking at a delay from the early 20s now to the late 20s and into the early 30s. You're talking about, well, just consider a human lifespan, an adult lifespan, and consider what this means. You're taking 10 years and shifting them from married life to unmarried life, and it's going to be more than 10 if the current trends are not stopped. And you're also talking about 10 years of the most fruitful, energetic, reproductively potential lives and years. It's an amazing thing. From a Christian perspective, I think we have to be troubled about this at several levels. Let's go to the phones. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Love to hear from you. We've got some great calls coming in. The phone number 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Salem, Missouri, where Douglas is listening on XM170. Go ahead, Douglas.
Yes, Albert. Thank you very much for your program and the intelligent conversation. I am 48 years old, and I've been married half that time. And I've noticed that there seems to be a real problem with discipline and teaching in the church. We have sex for free. Why bother to go with God's prescribed plan of being married first? As long as the children are having sex and they're not being held accountable before the councils of the church, then it becomes very easy for them to go with what I call the burgers, the bikinis, and the beaches under the leadership of our youth pastors and really not be held accountable. God commanded us, to a husband and the wife, the man to leave his family and to cleave to his wife, you know, from Adam and Eve on down. And so there's some real physiological reasons for that with regard to sexual life. So I think that, I'd like to hear you talk about that.
Yeah, Douglas, I talk about that a lot. I don't always talk about it in the same context, in the same way, but you kind of put it all out there for us, and I kind of had a hint you would from the way you started, and I'm kind of glad you did. Frankly, I can now come back and say, yeah, here's the big problem, and let me just give you a real-life conversation. You have a conversation with someone who says, I don't think I'm ready to get married. And especially when you're talking to a Christian young person, and in particular, I'm in a conversation recurringly with a Christian young man, and he says, I don't think I'm ready to get married. Well, here's the question. Are you ready to have sex? Are you having sex? You know, because there is every reason to believe that the Bible assumes those things are supposed to come pretty close together. In terms of the ability, and in terms of actually having sex, the Bible is very, very clear. That is to take place in marriage and only within marriage and only within the monogamous confines of fidelity in marriage. And the point that Douglas is making is the unspoken point in so many of these conversations because people just won't touch it. But I'm glad he did. It's absolutely necessary. One of the big things is, just to put it bluntly, they're not getting married, but they are having sex. Not every single young person who's delaying marriage, but in the main, the statistics that they report themselves indicate that this is the case. And, of course, that helps to explain the delay of marriage and many other things as well. Thanks for your call, Douglas. Let's go to Palmdale, California. Keith's listening on XM170. Go ahead, Keith.
How you doing, Al? Thanks for having me on your show. I think the topic you're bringing up is something of extreme importance that people don't want to talk about, even amongst conservative circles. I was just speaking to a Christian friend of mine the other day, is that one of the things people want to do is give their children privilege without responsibility once they start to reach the adult years, and we've allowed the world to determine how we should live our lives, when we should get married, what all the things we need to have met. I recently had a daughter of mine get married at the age of 19, and so far they're doing really good. And one of the things that I used as a principle was were the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says that if you burn, you should marry. And that doesn't mean that's the only qualification. Of course, you need to prepare yourself, but we're extending childhood into this time we call adolescence instead of trying to mature our younger people to become responsible adults and to prepare themselves to be married so that when they are burning, they can do something about it according to what God prescribes for us.
I appreciate your call, Keith, and many, many good points made there. And I want to make sure that we also make the point positively, not just negatively. One of the fathers of the church defined marriage as the hospital for the sex drive. You know, there's some truth in that, but I think the Bible is much more positive in saying that God is actually glorified when a husband and wife are rightly related to each other, and sex is a part of that relationship, and the one flesh relationship is so important it becomes even a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. It's a hospital, yes, but it's also a place where the arena of God's glory is demonstrated in the right ordering of all things. The delay of that, it's a matter of Christian concern. I just don't see any way around it. The phone number 877-893-8255. We'll be right back.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. We're talking about the delay of marriage and how we as Christians should think about it. To Brad Wilcox, Robert Withnow pointing out that it basically is a big part of the secularization trend in America, especially among young adults. Let's go to Cookeville, Tennessee. Edward's listening on XM170. Go ahead, Edward.
I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. So, Dr. Mohler, I heard your comment a minute ago about the sexual, biological urge, sexual urge of 17, 18-year-old men and women, and I thought I heard you say that because someone has the sexual drive at that age, that therefore they ought to be getting married at that age. Could you clarify that point?
Yeah, I didn't give an age, not at all. As a matter of fact, I appreciate your call so that that can be clarified. It ought to come, I would suggest that marriage ought to come as soon as the young person can accept full adult responsibility, and most 17, 18-year-olds, needless to say, aren't there. They're through puberty, but they're not ready to take on adult responsibilities. Clearly, there's some period of waiting that is required here, but, you know, in the main, you know, Edward, that had been a waiting until the early 20s. You're now looking at a waiting until the late 20s and the early 30s. You're looking at a pattern that statistically is jumping ahead just in the last 20 to 30 years, about 10 years in the lifespan. Does that make more sense?
No, it does make more sense, but I guess I would ask and follow up, if someone needs 5 or 10 more years to discover who they are and what their interests are and who's going to make the best life partner for them, what would be wrong with waiting until your late 20s or early 30s?
Well, I would say what you're talking about there is waiting to grow up, and I just think that's not a matter of Christian maturity. I mean, I just cannot imagine that that a mature Christian would say, I'm just going to wait to find out kind of who I am. And I mean, first of all, even beyond the marriage issue, what about the deployment for the gospel issue? What about how can I be maximally deployed for the glory of God, vocationally, geographically, and of course, maritally as well? The very kind of language of waiting to see who I am and what my tastes are and what my desires are and are that, you know, that to me is just a way of saying indefinitely postponing growing up and taking on adult responsibility. The vast majority of human beings do not have the luxury of trying to figure out exactly what they want to do in life and what all their options might be in life. I think this kind of conversation that is very common out there is just a symptom of the fact that perhaps we are presented with far too many very self-referential questions of preference, which is why there's so many people who are frustrated that when they get finally what they think they want, it doesn't deliver what they hope for. Adult life and adult status has probably a lot more to do with obligation and with responsibility than with mere preference. I do appreciate your call, Edward, and I thank you for the necessity of clarifying the age issue, because that's an important part of this as well. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Chris is listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Chris.
Hi, Dr. Moeller. My comment is that I think a lot of young people nowadays delay marriage and then in turn delay having children because of the spirit of discontentment. They're always out trying to get a bigger house, a fancier car, a flat screen TV, a new computer, and they just don't seem to have any idea what it means to get by or to make do.
You know, I appreciate that call very much, Chris, and that point. Let me just tell you, let me affirm how much I appreciate it by saying I appreciate the fact that it's coming from your voice in particular, because one of the realities that I face as I deal with young people and their parents is that the parents, that is the baby boomer parents, are often more of the problem than the young people themselves. I have had young couples say to me, our parents don't want us to get married because they want us to be independently, professionally successful before we get married. They want us to have X number of dollars in the bank account. They want us to be able to buy a house. I actually had a couple here at the seminary whose parents told them that they did not want them to get married until they could afford to buy a house. You know, the vast majority of people who've ever lived on the planet would have never gotten married, and thus the vast majority of us would never have been born had that been, or had anything like that been, a criterion at that time. Chris, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Jania calling from Santa Clarita, California, listening on XM 170. Go ahead, Jania.
Hi, Al. I'm so thankful for you and your program. I just had a question for you. I don't know how you would counsel or what you would say to a girl or a lady in her 20s, late 20s, that does desire to be married and does understand these principles about delaying marriage and doesn't want that, and you know, but just the Lord hasn't provided a husband. How would you counsel them? Or,
you know, number one, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for adding your voice to the conversation here. You know, one thing I want to say is that when you look at the particular situation you are in terms of being a young woman really facing this, then you also have to realize that I have to look to young men and say, I hope you hear that call and understand that it has a great deal to do with responsibility. It has a great deal to do with the fact that young men are not doing what they need to do, which is really affirmed by the kind of question that you ask. You know, young men have to take the lead in this. And so just to put it bluntly, Jania, what we have here are a lot of young men who aren't growing up. The phenomenon of delayed adolescence, everyone knows by every indication, has far more to do with young men than young women. And when it comes to the marriage issue, there are far more young women who are ready to get married when the young men are not than is the case the other way around. And so let me just put that as bluntly as I can put it. And, Jania, you are too kind to put it as bluntly as I just did. So let me just say it just that way. It is largely a problem of young males delaying growing up rather than young women. And that means that one of the new concerns I have in this is whether or not these young men understand they actually have a responsibility they are currently neglecting. And that is a responsibility to sisters in Christ, as well as a responsibility to the totality of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. There are all kinds of exceptions to bring in here. The most important biblical exceptions, the 1 Corinthians 7 exception, which is if someone's given the gift of celibacy for gospel service unhindered by marriage, then God bless you. But if you're not being deployed for gospel service somewhere where your unmarried state is important, then you're really not covered by that exception in 1 Corinthians 7. And just to get back to the other issues being discussed here, when it talks about burning and sexual desire and lust, we're a culture that has turned that into a form of entertainment rather than what the New Testament sees as a sin we are to flee, with marriage as at least part of that refuge. The Bible really does make that abundantly clear. We'll be right back with final thoughts in just a moment. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Let's go to Lakewood, New York. Marty's listening on XM 170. Go ahead, Marty.
Yes, I heard Dr. James Dobson say on a Focused Family broadcast that the most stable marriages occur around the age of 28, primarily because people know themselves better by then.
Yeah, that's an interesting statistic. Dr. Dobson's a dear friend of mine, and just as a disclaimer, I serve on the board of directors of Focus on the Family. I understand what he's saying there, and I see that as part of the problem. Again, the statistics sometimes point to certain things we need to know, which is, for instance, there are a lot of young adults who really aren't kind of knowing who they are until they get to about age 28. I see that, Marty, though, as the problem. I think they have a responsibility to come to know who they are a whole lot earlier and to know who they are, at least in part, by starting to assume the responsibilities of adulthood. If we keep this trend going on, the people aren't going to find themselves till their 30s or their 40s. I have a sociologist whose report I read just recently saying adolescence ought to be extended now into the early 30s. You know, we're looking at the fact that people just aren't growing up fast enough. We have a culture of entertainment, a culture that glorifies adolescence, a culture that that believes in play and everything but kind of the criteria of hard work. We're going to see an economic reset. I do know this, and Marty, your call leads me also to say this. I believe we're going to face an economic reset of the reality. The Wall Street Journal, a very interesting article out today about the economic turmoil in which we now find ourselves, asking the question, are people going to change the way they live long-term because of this? You know, let me tell you, one of my hopes in the midst of this is that this economic dislocation can be a wake-up call so that a lot of people say, you know, if I'm putting off marriage until I can supposedly afford it, you know, so that we can buy a house or do whatever, I may never get married. This economic reset may lead to some basic questions which would be very, very helpfully and healthfully asked. I want to thank all the callers today. Good points, even where there is a bit of perhaps pushing one another on these ideas. Those of you who perhaps have never thought about this before, let me just ask you, think about it. It can be a tough thing to think about because it gets into the zone of personal privacy where a lot of us believe that we have the American right to live. But one of the things we know, and this is basic to the Christian worldview, is that if we are followers of Christ, we're part of the body of Christ, and thus we're really accountable to Christ together. And we're accountable to each other as we are accountable to Christ together. This is the kind of issue we ought to bring up. And our goal here is not just to say to people, hey, you need to grow up. That's part of it. But it is even more than that to say to people, hey, you're missing out on something that God has intended for His glory and your good and your incredible, unbelievable satisfaction much earlier than you're aiming to receive it. Back next time with Intelligent Christian Conversation. Thanks for listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.